Hello and welcome to the podcast The Load Seaters for the 30th of June 2022. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the Transgender Bill of Rights, the D-Trans wave is coming, and Biden's Latinx oral historians that he's decided to hire. I've just noticed it's the end of June, so are we finally free of Pride tomorrow? Is it over?
It's Pride year, Callum, yeah. Every year. Well, and we've also got to remember we've got another Pride month coming in August because the UK has to celebrate both of them for some reason. So we'll never be free
okay.
of it.
I don't know what on earth I was imagining would happen. Anyway, let's get into the Transgender Bill of Rights. So, the Transgender Bill of Rights has been proposed by Democrats, who are ludicrous, and they're deciding that this is going to revamp all of civil rights legislation in the US so that transgender people can have the right to... What?
Do we need more civil rights legislation? Because civil rights was basically just, here's all of these privileges for you.
Well, what is a right, obviously, is the question. And a transgender's right to what exactly? And
to trans your kids.
Well, it's to invade women's spaces, frankly. That is the right that they're asking for, and we'll see it in the issues here. Well, I'll start off just with the promotion, as usual. Of course, this being the Loudoun County School Board cover-up, which is when, the local school board decided that it was a transgender person's right to go into the girls' bathrooms, and then... Well, they raped one of the girls, and then they tried to cover it up because it would have been an embarrassment to LGBT ideology. So go and check that out on the website, and also it'll be really relevant to what we're going to talk about today. So we'll start off with the announcement, as you can see here, from Representative Jayapal. I'm going to butcher the names, but whatever. In which she promotes the unveiling of the Transgender Bill of Rights in response to Roe v. Wade being taken away, which will make sense in a minute, trust me. Of course, she's a she-her Democrat in the bio, and also she's from Washington State. So thought we'd just for a second check out the kind of culture that Washington has, of course, around Portland and Seattle. And if you go to the next one here, you can see this is a local football game in which we have from Stonewall with a brick and Portland with an axe. Respect our pride or expect our wrath. And out of the fans rise this this cartoon image of a little cat there with an axe. Just so the message isn't lost on
this
you.
This is just a threat. This is incitement to violence, surely, but I suppose they can get away with it.
Respect our Southern pride or expect our wrath. I mean, it sounds like the Klan, but okay. The poster, the woman who posted this there, also describes herself as an ally. She, her, of course.
Well, I mean, of course she's got an ally. You can tell because of the axe.
Yeah, but I also love
that... If they've got a weapon in hand.
That's always been the joke, you know, what do you need allies for? Well, war. Okay, well, they're threatening to chop off your head.
Do you even know what that cartoon character was?
I don't remember. But,
it just looks like a blue cat.
You can see the tolerance swastika in the corner there, the three arrows as well. And that's because, well, this place is used by Antifa a lot.
Yeah, I can also see along the edges of the field down there, they've got trans flags.
Yeah, it's what you'd expect from this place. But if we go back to the Bill of Rights, because what kind of culture does this produce, at least in legislation? And we can see it firsthand. As you can see here, this is Pink News. The holy outlet for Pride Month and on Pride as well.
Come here for a sermon, have we?
In which they'll put it in their language and then we'll, you know, actually translate it. Because, of course, well, they have to obfuscate what they're actually doing. So they say in here, Democrats propose trans Bill of Rights to ensure Americans that they can live full and happy lives at the expense of anyone else. Five Democrats are hoping to codify into law a new 2020 Supreme Court, after the 2020 Supreme Court ruling that found the landmark civil rights law to protect LGBTQ plus workers from discrimination. So the idea being that Roe v. Wade has taken away abortion, and that's an attack on LGBTQ people, which... No. the opposite.
I always see an inherent contradiction in this sort of legislation, primarily because if you're a trans person and you so desperately don't want to be discriminated against, I know the reasons for this, but let me ask the question first. Why would you want to work for someone who would discriminate against you if only it weren't for the law forcing them not to? Surely that would be a hostile work environment. But of course, it's all about getting people to submit to the ideology.
It's a very weird understanding. But I love that this is mainly in response to Roe v. Wade, but it also has, of course, they say, also in response to Bostock versus Clayton County, which was taken place when it was legal for half of US states to fire employees for being LGBTQ+. Pink News, right, let's start there. I love the idea that until 2019 as well, you could just be fired for being gay, and businesses, if they did that, they would just, you know, up in profits, presumably.
I mean, stocks go up.
Why else would they be doing it? I was like, no, that wasn't reality. Like, everyone knows in 2019, if you did that, like, the business would be Like the PR
just,
of it.
Just imagine the board of directors just sitting around staring at the graphs going, oh no, our stocks are going down. What do we need to do? Quick, fire the gays. We need to fire more gays.
That'll make more people shop here. Trust me. Like, that wasn't happening. So I just find it weird that people think that, oh no, now we've made it illegal. Now we've solved the problem.
Peter Thiel just there like, I must fire myself.
The problem is already solved by society, to be honest, but whatever. They say, now in an America on the edge, after Supreme Court justices overruled Roe v. Wade, the House of Representatives is scrambling to ensure trans people don't have their rights scrapped next by the court. And obviously a right to what? Because, again, in response to abortion, it's like, damn, abortions have been made illegal in some states. Therefore, LGBTQ people are under attack. It's like, well, not the L's.
Mm.
Not the G's. Maybe the B's?
Hey, maybe. I mean, most of them are just straight anyway, let's be honest.
So, don't make much sense, but they say the resolution would amend the 1964 Civil Rights Act to explicitly include protections for gender identity and sex characteristics. Gender-affirming healthcare, as they call it, would be greatly expanded and the right to abortion and contraception codified into law. So, they're going to make sex reassignment surgery, well, the norm. Something you can get. Presumably, Fed will pay for it as well.
Which means you will pay for it.
Because if it's a right, well, then government has to pay for it, obviously. So then the taxpayer has to pay for it. They're also going to make abortion legal, which is a hot LGBT issue. I don't know. Okay, fine. I mean, at least they're trying through, you know, lawmakers instead of just subverting the courts for once on that front. But then also contraception, which presumably will also be paid by taxpayers. That's what they say they're going to do. The Attorney General would also be required to appoint a liaison within the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice and also to invest in the enforcement of civil rights for trans people as part of the law, while better funding for community services and mental health services will be dispensed to curb anti-trans violence. I don't know what that means.
Well, it means we're going to launder more money through community services.
But that's the thing, like, to stop anti-trans violence, we're going to deal with the mental health problem. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Sounds a bit coded.
But who's
sounds a bit transphobic, but...
Yeah, who's mental health problems? And of course, just to point out, better funding will not mean better services, because it never does.
The proposal would also ban conversion therapy, but obviously only in one direction. If you want to convert someone to being trans, do what you want. Above all, the Trans Bill of Rights has a simple aim: to ensure trans people live full and happy lives, said Washington Representative blah de blah. Good luck with that. I mean, I love it. I mean, I really do love the whole, like, trans people essentially live in the Holocaust 2.0 in every place in the world, even everywhere in the West. And until we suddenly reach the day where they're accepted, then they'll stop being 42%ers.
And you can tell that we're in Holocaust 2.0 because just like in Germany, Germany also passed anti-Semitic legislation, didn't they? Wait, that may not have been the case.
But it's just the absurdity of, like, right, this time, this law, this will change it. Now everyone in the trans, you know, space will be happy instead of upset constantly. It's like, no,
yeah,
I don't believe
perhaps
it.
Perhaps the issues to do with trans people's mental health comes more from internal than external factors.
Certainly in the West. I mean, this is not Iran, so... I hate that narrative. But the bill's sponsor says, you have seen the laws in Florida, the don't say gay laws, the laws criminalizing parents who just want to provide gender-affirming care to our kids. Right, so that's what she's mad about. She's mad that you can't groom kids.
Yeah, she's mad that parents who desperately want to groom their kids aren't able to right now.
Yeah.
In some states, in some circumstances.
I mean, she says the don't say gay law, the anti-grooming bill. As it is accurately described by anyone who's read it. Quote, we are going to stand up against the Supreme Court's attempts to strip away the rights of trans folks on top of abortion rights, she added. Literally not right. I don't know what to say. Also, the idea that trans people have a right, again, a right to what?
Well,
exactly.
This is the action of somebody who is in charge, who is at the top of this, I don't know, victimhood hierarchy, flailing around as they realize, oh crap, we've been rumbled, boys.
Yeah, but I just love the narrative of, like, transgender rights are under attack. And again, a right to what? Exactly, specifically. Nail it down. And of course, Pink News didn't really enlighten us much as to what specific rights they think are being taken away from them, which is, for example, abortions for men have been taken away, which they're going to bring back.
My right to choose is gone?
Men's rights to abortion are coming back. As you can see here from Keep Prison Single Sex USA, I've met the UK version of that, she's lovely. But so this is an individual who's just joined up looking at the bill. Let's have a look at what's in it. codifying Roe v. Wade, guaranteeing the right to abortion, and codifying the right to reproductive health care such as birth control and fertility treatments for everyone, including transgender and non-binary people.
Well, I mean, you could just specify women, like, biologically.
You could if you were just doing it for women, of course. But it now includes men. Men have a right to an abortion.
But what about all those mentally ill biological women?
I don't know what to do, but I love how they're just like, yeah, okay, if we pass this, men are also going to have their rights to abortion. So can we finally have an opinion on it?
I suppose so. So I suppose, you know, I mean, I could say, would that mean I can now say your body, my choice? I mean, it's in the legislation, honey. What are you supposed to do?
And also non-binary people, of course, which don't exist. I'm not even going to argue that.
Wait.
I'm very much on the Douglas Murray point of view of this. Just look at my gender.
Wait, could a biological man identify as a transgender man for these purposes? Because, like, I don't think that's something that's been really explored in this. Can I identify as a biological woman who identifies as a man and therefore have all the rights to talk about female issues?
I mean, you can identify as a bird, so yeah, I feel like you could. I don't know what would stop you in progressive land. So, yeah.
I mean, there's no rules against it, so I'm a transgender man now.
But anyway, good news, boys. We're getting all our abortions back.
Finally.
If you get the next one here, you can all see it also. The bill is going to ban female-only shelters. Wonderful. Very progressive. Glad that we're striving towards the future, as if this is something ever desirable. You know, anything that could be called the future or progress. If you get the next one as well, we also have the fact that it's going to ban female-only toilets and changing rooms and dorm rooms, because that's so 2019. It's got to go. So there you have it. That's the proposal in the bill as well. And if you go to the next one, they have one of the funniest ones. They start off by saying, we must recognize the right to bodily autonomy and ethical healthcare for transgender and non-binary people, which I'm just going to stop there. I mean, could you ever imagine the old, you know, COVID fanatics talking about ethical healthcare or bodily autonomy?
And I think in the next segment that we'll get to, it'll be clear that what this healthcare is, this medical care, is less than ethical.
Well, they describe it in here. They will enforce prohibitions on discrimination in the provision of healthcare on a basis of sex, including the basis of actual or perceived gender identity or sex characteristics. Which means, of course, the doctors must believe that this man in front of them is able to give birth.
Bake the cake, bigot.
Yeah, and is also to have periods. I mean, I don't know what the point in that is, that statement, because the idea that you've just got to accept. Although, also, I'm weirded out by the fact that they say, on the basis of actual or perceived gender identity.
That's interesting, isn't it?
What does that mean? I mean, presumably they define the actual as what's in the individual's head.
Yeah, but that's also perception. So it's conflating the two. They're using the two terms as though they're separate, even though in progressive language they mean the same thing.
Like, perception and the actual reality are the same thing according to them. But then why did you separate them? Presumably because, well, you've got to write in English still. Otherwise, you just sound as you do. But if you go to the next one here, just to mention real quick, we'll come back to this in your segment, of course, but just to mention that this is real as well. I mean, like, to think that if this passes, this won't happen. This already happens in the UK. Fellow Yankees, as you can see here. Now the NHS quietly removes the word woman from its menopause page. This is real. The NHS has a page advising, you know, the people of Britain.
I mean, we don't want to suggest that menopauses only happen to women.
No, of course. It happens to men too. All stripes. At least that's how it's left now. So the idea that this won't end up happening in the healthcare system. Yeah, it will. It absolutely will. If passed, this will just become the norm, as it already is in other places in the world. If you go back to the thread, though, there's some other funny stuff in there. They say they also will eliminate unnecessary government restrictions on the provision and access to gender-affirming medical care for adolescents and children. Any restrictions to destroying a child, get rid of them. Well, otherwise it's anti-LGBTQ, of course. I mean, it is a real mask-off moment where they're just, okay, we've written a bill. It's a civil rights for trans people. We've got a right to molest and groom and to mess up kids. Okay. I mean, I'm not on your team, whatever team that is. I mean, we are going to get rid of all restrictions they just to say are unnecessary, which means all of them, to, well, sex changes for children.
Do we know when this bill, they're going to be trying to pass this?
So this is five Democrats in the, I believe it's in the Congress, have brought this through, and then they're going to be voting on it, presumably the next couple of months or something.
Okay, hopefully this doesn't get through.
No, but I just can't get over the proposal. I mean, it is nice to see them just openly saying, we are the evil people in, well, legal texts.
We are trying to corrupt your children. Here it is in legislation.
Yes, this is what our future looks like under us. Like, oh, great, fantastic.
Prosperity for all.
Yeah, and there they go on. If we go to the next one here. They also say that they will eliminate the requirement to list gender on state identification at the end there. But then they also say they want to allow you to place an X in place of gender as well, even though they've already eliminated the line that shows your gender, except it doesn't show your gender, does it? I mean, as John has pointed out many a times, if you get your British passport, I'm pretty sure it's the same on American identification too, what does it say?
It says sex.
It says sex, which is biological.
That dirty word that none of us want to think about nowadays.
Yeah. In which case, even if you put an X, that doesn't mean anything. We all know what your sex is. Like, that's still the case.
And the only people who should be keeping sex out of their mind are the Rojos.
They also say they will eliminate gender identification requirements on government documents that are unnecessary to determine the identity of the holder. I don't know what the language is here, because at the same time try and argue, well, we must be able to determine what's on the card to show you, and then you must believe the card, not your lying eyes, of course. But then also, it's unnecessary to determine it because you can just believe us and your lying eyes. But then also, we don't even need it on the card. I mean, you can see this is just frantically written in, you know, confused language to say the least, just to be like, yes, we're having a transgender bill of rights. It doesn't make any goddamn sense, even in their own requirements.
If you get people to believe absurdities, you can get them to commit, you know, very bad things.
Yeah. There's also the fact in here, as you go to the next one, they also say they're going to integrate the prisons, essentially. Fantastic. Nothing could go wrong there. We'll have men and women.
Because it's been shown to have such a glowing track record so far.
I also love how, I think it was under like the Victorians or something in Britain. We used to actually have mixed prisons.
And then we realised it was a terrible idea, I'm guessing?
Yeah, quite a lot of rape. And then it was the progressive and forward-thinking thing to do, to be like, yeah, maybe we should try and stop rapes. So, segregate the sexes, and now we're going back to it again. At least as proposed by the, you know, wonderful progressives who are bringing us such a future. And if we go to the next one here, we just have just the last bit they mention, which, I mean, as the individual rights, just utopian. I mean, these people really are beyond reach. Right here, the actions listed above are only the first steps towards transgender equality.
We need to crush your rights more to make us all more equal.
But also, all the things they've listed there is essentially, you must accept what I tell you, not your lying eyes, not the lying government identification, not the lying doctor who pointed out that, you know, you're a man or a woman, obviously, by your DNA. But instead, these things, even though we've already got to the point of we're going to integrate the prisons, we're going to be able to groom your kids, and you have to accept whatever the hell we tell you, that's the first step. The rest of the steps.
And this is a very long-form way of these people coming out and agreeing that, yes, they really are evil and want to diddle your kids.
But they continue, the federal government must take an ongoing commitment to the rights of transgender and non-binary people, and policies concerning transgender rights must be led and informed by the transgender communities.
I mean, because they've got such good judgment, haven't they?
Yeah, but also just the utopian nature of it, I don't think is something not to dwell on. I mean, the idea that this time, you know, it wasn't real socialism last time, so we'll try it again, bro. You know, we will eventually get to the holy paradise, what they're trying to get to. I mean, it really is the same language every single time, instead of, you know, living to learn, well, learning to live with reality. I mean, I also love the fact that just, you know, we're almost there, bro. Except that, of course, this bill may also almost be there, because where else is it going to go? Well, if we get the next one here, we can see Libs of TikTok, which obviously produces Democrat legislation before it's legislation. And we have an individual here who identifies as a bird.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, I should have clipped this, but I wonder if we can play it as well, just because it's, you know, obviously mad. But let's enjoy the madness whilst we're here.
Hi, my name is Cameron, and I'm a member of our DID system. So Avery and I are both birds. I am a cardinal and Avery is a blue jay. We like AM air pronouns in particular because they feel even further removed from gender than they than theirs. And being birds, while we do have our own gender expression, we don't inherently have a gender at all. And not in the way that, like, we're just non-binary. It's that, like, our species as, like, an avian-human hybrid does not inherently have any kind of gender at all. So you use them just like singular pronouns, like he, him, or she, her. Spelling and pronunciation wise, it's like they, them, theirs without the TH at the beginning. So the best way I think to practice is to write out a couple of short sentences using like he, him, his, and himself, and then go back through and erase all of those pronouns and fill them in with am, air self.
She's giving me homework. Jesus Christ. The aggressive feminization of public discourse has been a disaster for the human race, as far as I'm concerned. This whole idea of, oh, let's just give everything to these people because they're so marginalized and they're so sad.
But don't you know the terrible human hybrids are not getting the rights they deserve?
And she even said at the beginning she's part of the DID system, the dissociative identity disorder, that I would assume that means. And I assume Avery is her alternate personality. And there's some debate as to whether DID is a real quantifiable thing in the first place. But why would I listen to anything this woman has to say if she's got all these voices bumping around her head telling her, no, you're actually a bird. I mean, ooh, cool, cool.
I remember listening, do you remember that debate Ben Shapiro had when, what was it, Caitlyn Jenner first came out?
Oh, course, yeah, yeah.
He went on TV and was like, yeah, my uncle used to think the radio was talking to him. And, you know, we got him to a ward and got him fixed.
Yeah, there you go.
We didn't just agree that the radio was talking to him. And everyone laughed and said, oh, come on, this won't lead to this. Yeah. Yeah, well,
I also like the idea that TikTok is just where Democrats are getting all their policy positions from. Yeah. They're just flicking through TikTok and, oh, that's a good one. Birds, yeah, that's what we go for next.
So presumably, as they say, you know, these are just the first steps of a bill that will bring true equality to the community. Well, presumably the bird people have been left out.
I mean,
out.
She seems oppressed, and honestly, the urge to bully is immense when I look at these people.
Don't do anything of the sort, of course.
Not physically, of course.
No, not anything at all, because otherwise YouTube would be mad. But anyway, just to end on that, because the utopian language at the end of that bill, which is just like, the future will finally come. And I just wanted to mention, it really is. I mean, like, I listen to a lot of North Korean propaganda, as you know, we've spoken about. But some of the language in the North Korean propaganda really is the same thing as you can see in this language that gets used in these bills. Like, one day we'll finally get there. I mean, if you listen to any North Korean song, it's like, we have nothing to envy in the world. We're going to reach socialism one day, boys. And you get it exactly the same in the intersectionals when they speak of identitarian end.
Kim Jong-il will lead us into that glorious future. Oh, Kim Jong-un will lead us into that glorious future. Who's the next guy?
Caitlin. anyway, so that's the transgender bill of rights, which will give transgender people the right to do whatever they want all of the time, I guess.
All right, moving on quite nicely from that one, let's look at the oncoming wave of detransitioners, because it will happen. It will happen, I think, sooner than any of us are expecting, because I was expecting maybe 10 to 15 years, but it's already starting to come out. These stories are starting to become more public and easily accessible to the mainstream, and there are some that have actually gone viral on Twitter that we'll look at. Before we go into any of that, though, there is a recent article for us from Connor Tomlinson that's on the website. It's premium. If you've got a silver membership, you can check out the audio track where he's talking about the academic assault on English literature. And I do think the academic sphere is assaulting a lot of things in modern life, not just academic literature, but also a lot of stuff that's coming out just in social spheres as well, because I see a lot of this whole intellectualizing around trans issues is coming from the academic space, and I don't think there's really much of an argument against that. Anyway, but moving back on to something that we touched on in that last segment, we mentioned that the NHS has quietly removed the word women from its menopause page, because not every woman... it's not only women that get menopause. It's God, you absolute bigot. And they say in the Daily Mail, NHS ditched the term women and woman from its menopause guidance, despite ministers promising to crack down on woke gender-free language in medical advice. And once again, ministers proving that they are all bark and no bite because they never actually do anything.
Well, specifically Savage Javid as well. I think this is like the fifth time or something he's given a speech where he says we must crack down on wokery in the NHS. It's just like,
well, I can...
waiting.
Do we see both of his hands when he's making these speeches, or he's got one behind his back with his fingers crossed?
We must stop them, I swear.
Oh, dear. Oh, God. Yeah, last month, the NHS Digital revealed that they'd quietly scrubbed all mention of women from its landing pages for ovarian, women, womb, and cervical cancer as well.
You know they're trying to remove women. Yes, Posey.
Yes, they really are. I mean, I'm sure that prostate cancer will still have reference to men for now. Actually, that's a good point. Double check that for me. Jamie, bring that up. And the move was condemned by Health Secretary Savid Javid, who said common sense and the right language should be used to give people the best possible care. And given that he keeps saying this stuff and nothing ever actually gets done in the direction that he's saying, he's either lying to the public and behind it, or just completely flaccid and neutered as far as public officials come for getting the job done that he wants to get done. So I don't see why I would trust anybody in the UK government to do anything that they say at this point. I know we're getting that British Bill of Rights relatively soon, but I don't necessarily know if I trust them to be able to pass something like that in the way that would be necessary here. But anyway, let's just double check it and we can see the page itself. This was post May 24th to 27th, because that seems to be when they actually did change the page. If you scroll down, you can see menopause is when your period stops due to lower hormone. This usually happens between the ages of 45 and 55. It can sometimes happen naturally. No mention of women anywhere on this page. Go to the next one. And this is May 24th. In the very first sentence, the menopause is when a woman stops having periods and is no longer able to get pregnant naturally. And this sort of stuff is actually relatively important, because not being able to define which sex it's happening to, like the menopause on a biological basis of, yes, this happens to women.
Did you know knowledge is important in medicine?
I know. Who would have thought? But it really does make the issue quite confusing for people. If someone's, you know, nowadays, if you're 13 years old and you're a girl and you're going through all of these changes and you want to know what you can expect going into the future, you might drop on the menopause page on the NHS website and think, oh, it must happen to boys as well.
Just to answer your question, prostate cancer does have mentions of the word men.
So. Oh my goodness. So at least young boys are getting appropriate warning of what might happen to them in the future. And of course, we've got, because it's been Pride Month, we've had every single company bowing down to the regime to let them know that, yes, they do have the correct opinions. And this is the most recent thing that came out, which was Halifax, the bank, tweeted out pronouns matter, hashtag it's a people thing, with this image of Gemma, she, her, hers. And I'm sure if we were able to get a zoomed out image, I would be able to have told you what her pronouns are without needing them specified on the name badge. And also the whole point of the name badge is I now know your name. I can refer to you by name if I so choose.
I'd rather not.
It's
how often do you actually use someone's name if they got a name badge, like in a bank or a restaurant?
I don't say their name. I don't use pronouns. I speak in very short, cut-off sentences to say, can I get this, please? I just want to deposit this money.
Can I have
Thank you. Yeah.
I don't need to say Gemma at any point.
Yeah, exactly. But if you, but apparently this is important. And some people pushed back against this in the next one. If you scroll up here, we can see that somebody was talking to them. It does nothing of the sort, you know. There's no ambiguity about the name Gemma. Obviously, it's a woman I'm talking to. And then Halifax just responds, you know, saying pronouns matter, but apparently customers don't matter, because they say we strive for inclusion, equality, and quite simply, in doing what's right. If you disagree with our values, you're welcome to close your account. This is not going to win loyalty with customers. If you disagree with us politically, just piss off. I mean, it's a daring business tactic.
I mean, we joked about it yesterday. It was just like, for inclusion, we'll exclude you.
Mm-hmm. That is what it always is. And of course, we need to take a look at the Harwood hot take, because the man is a bad take machine. I don't understand why. How would you do the Tom Harwood voice? I don't understand would be annoyed by people voluntarily adding their pronouns to name badges or email signatures.
This just sounds like he's hungover, let's be honest.
This is also my H-bomber guy voice. Sometimes it's genuinely useful. No, it's not, Tom. Unless the person that you're talking to is an obvious ideologue, in which case they typically have visual indicators that light up like a neon sign from a mile away. They've got the nose piercings, they've got the multicoloured hair, they're probably wearing dungarees in the middle of summer like some kind of farmyard hick. You can pretty much guarantee if you run into someone on the street or in a shop that this middle-aged, obvious woman is a woman.
To be fair, I do agree with him in one aspect, though.
Oh, yeah?
Sometimes it is genuinely useful. I mean, whenever you get an email or business card with someone with, you know, pronouns on it asking if you'd like to pay money to them, you're just like, huh, no, you're a retarded. And then you move on. I mean, I don't know if you've had that experience. You've just been kind of given this business card or something.
Well,
we won't do business with you, actually.
That's the thing. It's why...
I trust you with my money.
This is my answer to why anyone would be annoyed by people adding their pronouns to these things, which is it's a display of political partisanship.
But also, just intellectually lazy or weak, because no normal person would do this as well.
That's the thing, but that display of political partisanship, it's why people get so annoyed and make the argument, oh, pronouns in bio isn't a real argument. Yes, it is. Because from the very fact that you are feeling the necessity to put your pronouns in your bio tells me a lot about the rest of your opinions on reality and your probably your general personality in general. And it's very interesting that it is the display of political partisanship that I can deduce so much purely from whether you feel the need to display your pronouns publicly or not. And it also just pretends like we can't tell. Like, it's the whole, like, who are you going to believe, the badge or your own lying eyes? So that's why people would get a little bit annoyed, Tom. Not that you'll listen. And then we've got Disney using trans iconography in this new advertisement for the Baymax show, which I'm sure will be on Disney Plus. This is all just part of their not-so-secret gay agenda. Let's just play the clip so you can get a measure of this.
Excuse me. Which of these products would you recommend?
Oh, well, these are the tampons I usually use.
Thank you.
Now, I prefer pads. Where's Wally? They're more comfortable for me.
Thank you. I always get the ones with wings.
Thank you. Get unscented and bleach-free if you can.
You see, Wally?
Yo, my daughter loves these.
Thank you.
These might be easier if it's her first period.
These are really environmentally friendly.
Yep. Chris Rufo shared that out, of course. I think that was
what am I looking for?
That was a leak. I wonder, where was Wally in that image? Of course, it was the person with the beanie on and the massive trans flag emblazoned on his ?
So that's a bit
shirt.
Weird. It's a bit funny because, like, all the ladies there were saying, you know, this is for her period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which
no, this is for his period, apparently. I mean, come on. I know my girlfriend, when we're in an argument, will occasionally accuse me of being on a period if I'm getting particularly flustered about something, but I've never felt the need to go out and shop for it, just in case, you know?
No, I just, to be honest, I don't know why Chris is upset about this. It's kind of base, because all the women in the shop are like, yeah, this is for women. Like, not playing into the nonsense at all.
Well, yeah, but the point is, it's supposed to be trying to normalize this whole idea, and plus they are explicitly showing the trans flag
the
on the shirt.
The animator has their desires.
It is quite insidious, and I'm pretty sure, actually, that Disney have used that same character model before in different shows, or at least one that looks very, very similar, to denote just, this is a man. So it's actually providing kids not only with, here's the political partisanship for you, it's also distorting their view on what a trans man would actually look like. I mean, I'm sure people might disagree a little bit more if they threw in Elliot Page. It might display a different kind of character to trans men as they actually are in real life, mostly.
I don't know, because I'm not familiar with the show, but I just, I actually find it funny. I don't know why people aren't picking up on the fact that the women are just like, yeah, these are for your daughter. These were great for my daughter. And it's like, yeah, the women. Not anything else, which presumably the animator who's putting in that trans flag doesn't agree with, would agree with the NHS version of life.
Well, potentially, but once again, I think the whole idea is, yes, it's for women, but also these women have identified themselves and their daughters as women, therefore we can trust because they, being women, know what a woman is, but also you can't judge because a trans man could also be looking for tampons for their period, which is true. But also, like,
that's
weird.
That's obviously a woman.
Yeah, that's obviously a woman. But anyway, and now that we've taken a look at some of that stuff, let's take a look at what, if you bring the Twitter back up, yeah, some of the D-trans stories that have been going around on Twitter recently. Now, this one came out on June 13th. I'm saying it like it's a box office, like a premiere of a film. But this person, Tulip R, I believe, is a person who transitioned from male to female and then has detransitioned, and he is a moderator for the D-trans Reddit, D-trans subreddit. So he's very sympathetic to those people, and he's been through it himself. And he posted this thread, and shockingly enough, it got about 40,000 likes, like we can see. And I do find it interesting because normally Twitter tries to censor these things. But it seems that people cottoned onto this one before Twitter got the chance to censor, because I did see some tweets from people, including Tulip, whose real name is Richie. I'll just refer to him as Richie. Richie was pointing out and calling out that Twitter did sort of try and hide this thread from people. But but calling Twitter out seems to have got them to pull back on that. And he also got mass hate from the online trans community from this, because of course he did. And I'm going to read a little bit of this, and apologies, because these sorts of stories are always pretty harrowing and are always pretty nasty to listen to. So apologies if this is upsetting to anybody, but I think it's important to know about what's going on here. So he says, I want to tell everyone what they took from us, what irreversible really means, and what that reality looks like for us, meaning the detransitioners. I have no sensation in my crotch at all. You could stab me with a knife and I wouldn't know. The entire area is numb, like it's shell-shocked and unable to comprehend what happened even 4 years on. No one told me that the base area of your penis is left and it can't be removed, meaning you're left with a literal stump inside that twitches. When you take testosterone and your libido returns, you wake up with morning wood just without the tree. And he says, I wish this was a joke. Then there's the act of going to the toilet. It takes me about 10 minutes to empty my bladder. It's extremely slow, painful, because it dribbles no matter how much I relax. It will then just go all over the entire area, leaving me soaked. So after cleaning myself up, I'll find moments later that my underwear is wet, no matter how much I wiped, and it slowly dribbles out for the best part of an hour. It's awful, horrendous thing to go through. Now I get to the point where I'm detransitioned, and the realization that this is permanent is catching up with me. During transition, I was obsessive and deeply unwell. I cannot believe they were allowed to do this to me, even after all of the red flags. I wasn't even asked if I wanted to freeze sperm or wanted kids. In my obsessive, deeply unwell state, they just nodded along and didn't tell me the realities, what life would be like. And when you see the Democrats trying to pass the transgender Bill of Rights, and when you see companies like Disney and Halifax trying to promote this sort of stuff as if it's perfectly normal and as if these surgeries and operations that people go through to affirm their true gender are just completely completely normal, no risk, no threat of anything happening. And then you read something like
100%
this.
100% reversible, as you're always told.
100% reversible. If you get that double mastectomy, then you'll be able to, and then you change your mind, you'll be able to grow back your breasts. Well, not grow them back, but will be able to implant new breasts on you. If you, what was one of them?
The TF2 medic is just like, bonds grow back, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. If you go on puberty blockers and decide that you don't want to anymore, then it will have no permanent or damaging effects, even though that they can vastly reduce your ability to have children. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I've just that word completely slipped my mind for a second there. And it can also mean that I think if people go on to puberty blockers past a certain age, there is like studies have shown there's 100% chance that they will later go on to further surgery and further medical procedures. So it is very, very damaging. And this person, Richie, went through about, I think, 6 years overall waiting list.
I don't know if we want to read it out. It's just horrible. I just love the message at the end. It's just F everyone who let this happen. I mean, fair enough.
Yeah. And he has been approached by a number of people to interviews. I think he's decided to stop doing interviews now because it was getting a bit much for him, especially with the mass hate that he was getting. The thread got mass reported.
So he says, I didn't delete anything, by the way, because there were a few tweets that were deleted. Thread got mass reported, meaning that people just went in and tried to hide.
Yeah, the trans community and the trans activists, who, of course, love everybody and don't want any hate for anybody, mass reported this because it goes against the narrative. And he has done an interview with The Times, which, if we move to the next one, we can play a little bit of this clip just to see the mindset that he was in when he started this, and also basically how, even as an adult in his 20s, he got groomed into this. So let's take a look.
I had a lot of mental health issues. I was on a high dose of SSRIs for anxiety and depression, and I just became, I would say, like, overtaken by this idea, and I was very obsessed with it, and it just kind of came out of nowhere. I remember reading it online about gender dysphoria, and I went onto these internet forums or chat rooms in 2013, 2014, and they kind of like diagnose each other, but it's run by like much older men who, I don't know, I don't want to disrespect anyone, but it seemed like they really wanted me to transition more than I did. And it was very much do or die. You have to do this now while you're young. Look at me, I'm going to regret it. You should do it now because you'll be able to look like a woman, no problem. And then that just set us on an obsessive mission, but I was very poorly mentally.
Yeah, So if that can happen to somebody who is in now their mid to late, like I think early to mid 30s, so obviously somebody who was classified as an adult when that started happening, when they started to get groomed, imagine what can happen to your children. And he mentions there, you know, the online forums, it was a lot of older men. Do you, are you aware of autogynephilia?
Is that the one where those people have like a fetish for like chopped off limbs or something?
Not chopped off limbs. It's where men, this is what you tend to see in transgender women who are like in their mid-50s and older, is men who have a fetish, a sexual fetish for being able to see themselves as a woman and therefore will go ahead with the transition. This is something that's been studied, and when the person who discovered it did discover it and released a paper on it, of course she got massive amounts of hate from the online trans community, and I think she got cancelled and kicked out of her university. But I would not be surprised if on these forums there is some kind of vicarious autogynephilia going on, where these older men who don't necessarily are, who at this age aren't necessarily able to see themselves as the ideal woman that they want to be, get a kind of kick and a thrill out of getting younger people to do it, who might be able to look more like the ideal woman in their eyes. That's just a theory on my part, but I wouldn't be surprised if they are getting some kind of sick thrill out of it, because, I mean, I don't put anything past these kinds of degenerates, personally, to do this to somebody who is obviously ill, very mentally unwell, and very unstable and vulnerable.
You know what will help that? Destroying your body.
Yep, exactly. And then you get the responses from the turds, the online trans community on Twitter. I just looked through the quote tweets, and if you go to this link that I put on here for the Times Radio, little clip that they got, could just go through the quote tweets and see the absolute vitriol and hate that is being spewed at this poor, vulnerable man. And this Jade, for instance, who's got the trans flag in her
anime profile picture. Why not?
Yeah, anime profile picture. And we can see right behind there, they've got, I think, a bit of the pride flag and the trans flag behind that anime profile picture. So this is all lining up very nicely. Where are people getting this fast-tracked gender-affirming healthcare that trans people can't get? So, your life has been ruined. Give me some of that. Is what they're saying.
I have heard the argument. Rose of Dawn has mentioned it. Like, the waiting list for transitioning is quite long because of the NHS backlog and whatnot. But I imagine this person probably did it long before this. So the idea of this is impossible.
Also, notice right here that they're saying that trans people can't get. So what they're doing is excommunicating Richie. Because if you detransition, that does not mean that you are somebody who was trans
race, it's frankly, not community.
No, what they do is, it's not that you're no longer part of the trans community, is they frame it as though you were never trans at all.
Oh.
Because, like I say, it's an complete excommunication, because you are a heretic in the eyes of the almighty Pride Church. There's another one pointing out, oh, isn't it funny how it's only ever the ones who regret it who feel that they were fast-tracked. Yes, maybe because no amount of waiting time is ever going to be enough for some people, who is just going to be a terrible decision, no matter the circumstances. And then there's this one, which I saw primarily because Ash Sarkar, of course, retweeted it. I feel very sorry for Richie that he regretted transitioning. But he was 31 when he consented to the surgery, 6 years after seeking help and 4 years after going private because of long waiting lists. Are we seriously saying he was too young to consent to fast-tracked treatment? And on that, once again, I would say maybe the point is that no matter how long this procedure takes, there is a high chance that you will end up regretting and either detransitioning or killing yourself, or sadly, both. Because for a lot of people, the initial problems that cause the gender dysphoria have nothing to do with how you feel about your sex, your biological sex, and a lot to do with other issues, maybe home issues, maybe just general mental health problems. And this is being treated as a fix-all, one-size-fits-all solution.
But also the idea
sort of
that, you know, say you've got problems with the way your body is, that's, you know, that is the dysphoria, right? What he ends up as he described, I feel like that's probably going to make you feel more unnatural than what you had before, surely.
It does. This is what I've seen from a lot of trans people who have, even older trans women who are like near their late 40s. I read an article, I think it was in the Telegraph or something, from this person saying, okay, when I initially transitioned, I still didn't feel any better. And I was trying to live up to this standard of, I am a woman now.
But and you've still got a piece of your in there. It's just
and he realized that it was only when he I'll say she to be respectful that when she realized, no, I'm not a woman, I am a trans woman, that is something completely different, I am separate from womanhood, I am something else, that she started to feel better about herself. Because once again, the standards that trans activists and other people put, like trans women are women, is just setting an unnaturally and unattainably high standard for these people to hit that is going to make them feel worse.
Like, impossible.
It is impossible.
Can't get over the description he had of the fact that he's still got morning wood in the morning, but you know.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
Awful.
It is honestly awful.
But could you imagine trying to be a woman and you think that, you know, that's, you know, going to physically be cut, and then you've got that? I mean, that's just, I mean, you would feel just, I mean, I want to say, like, I'd feel like an abomination or something. Because you've got both at that point.
Yeah, that is the thing. And not to speak of some of the other issues that can come from drilling a hole through the pelvis into the colon for this sort of stuff, but I don't want to go into that any further. But just for one last one, there was another one that Richie himself did share, and this person, Soren, is not somebody who is necessarily outside of the leftist sphere. You can go on her account and she's still, you know, she's got Karl Marx all over. Don't scroll too much on this one, John.
Jesus God, yeah,
because there is some awful pictures in this, so please don't scroll too far. And I don't want to put everyone who's viewing at home through that right now, especially if you might be eating dinner, because I've already probably curdled your stomach enough. But enough to say that even people who are still within the leftist sphere, people who still believe in all of this sort of stuff, have still got lots of issues with how the medical procedures are handled, because this person talks about the double mastectomy that she had, and she got massive bruising, blood loss, terrible treatment from medical staff, people consistently fobbing her off because it's like, no, that's just normal. You're supposed to bleed like that. You're supposed to get all this terrible bruising around where your breasts were. Don't worry about it. And eventually realized, okay, I'm not actually trans. You know, she's like, oh, I still support trans and trans rights and all this sort of stuff. But she can at least post that there is some terrible, awful procedures that go on in this sort of stuff. And no aftercare for these people. They will get you through. They will get you through the revolving door and then ignore that you ever existed. But once again, it is still impressive to me that these stories are starting to get more traction and more visibility in the mainstream public eye than they used to, especially on Twitter. So I do honestly believe the detrans wave is coming, and God help everyone involved in this business when it does.
That was awful.
Yeah. Sorry to put you through that.
No, I'm just trying to think back to like Joseph Mengele's experiments, and I'm thinking, you know, there were ones in there that were definitely less bad than this, and there was a considered war crimes. Ugh, anyway. Let's try and lighten the mood a little bit, I suppose. So, let's talk about Biden's Latinx oral historians, because, well, I suppose he's pissing money, so why not piss money on this? We'll start off just with the promotion, of course, being for the Politics of Four Lions, because the Politics of Four Lions, well, made more sense than what we're about to go through. Rubbing your rapids, bro, haven't got nothing on this. So, let's go to the next one here, because we have polling, of course, on where Americans' priorities lie. And as you can see here, this post is making the point that January 6th is on no one's case. No one gives a toss about that.
And do you care?
No.
Neither do I.
The number one issue being inflation and economy. You know, one and the same there.
Oh, you mean those things that immediately affect people's day-to-day lives?
Yeah. And if we go to the next link here, you can see, of course, that American inflation is having a big cope. As you can see, the Economist, so maybe it's more like 6%. It's actually now 8.5% for the United States, so even this headline is out of date. Just check it before we started. If you go to the UK, of course, it's even worse, because we have 9.1%. Fantastic. I love the future. And if you go to the next link here, we can see we're being warned in this country that it's going to be bad for very long and probably worse than anyone else.
Oh, great. Price inflation is really kicking me in the ass right now, and it's kicking a lot of people in the ass. And the thing is, when you see a figure like 9.1%, it's like, that's not it.
No, it's not.
That's not it. Because that'll be like blanket across the entire economy, whereas, you know, there'll be like tiny obscure products that went up by maybe 0.1% pulling that down.
But it's about the inflation of the currency supply. And then you're wondering, you know, is that really the case, or is it, you know, 12 or something like that?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Well, the currency supply has been inflated to a ridiculous degree. I mean, come on.
But that's enough whining about where I live. But if we go to the next one here, we can go back to the United States, because this is where the historians get tied in, of course. Because you may remember, the United States pisses money up the wall like nothing, or at least Congress does, the Washington, D.C. economy. As you can see here, this was the funniest one back in the day, the $10 million for gender programs in Pakistan.
Why does it keep coming back to the transes?
Well, of course, the American government has to export it to everywhere else in the world that isn't mad. And
how's the Pakistani Tavistock going?
I think that probably went into someone's pocket. Let's hope.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it was spent on anything else, it's done some bad. So
I honestly would hope that this money just got laundered somewhere rather than actually went to gender reassignment stuff at this point.
I mean, if it just brought a bunch of Rolexes, I mean, you know, some watchmakers are getting work out of it.
Yeah, some guy is happy with his 10 watches, you know.
But there's the American taxpayer paying the bill for God knows what endlessly. And this was, of course, part of the COVID recovery plan, which... yeah, it was desperately needed. But then there's a new one here, and this story caught my eye. And this one says $825,000 in American Rescue Plan funds went to oral historians researching anti-racism Latinx histories. Which, I know it's not the biggest amount in the world, especially when you think of it as a $2.5 trillion bill. Or the previous one, $1.5 trillion, which I'm sure had nothing to do with the inflation. You know, the mass printing of money. That isn't what causes inflation.
Was it Ron Paul who suggested that all bills that pass through, like, the Congress and Senate and stuff, should be limited to only being allowed to be one page? I'm pretty sure it was, like, Ron Paul or someone like that, because I see the utility in it.
He's so right.
It stops BS like this being slipped into a 1,000-page document that no one is going to read.
Like, we could pass 3,000 bills year-round instead, and they're all one page. Just do one thing by one thing instead.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
And if they were all repealing stupid laws that already exist, even better, you know?
Yeah, very simple. And that could be the way the world works, but instead, of course, it's... I don't know if we have it in here, but you could actually see this particular bill being brought through. It's on a guy, like, holding a trolley, and there's just piles of paper. And that was the $2.5 trillion bill.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
But anyway, so they mentioned here, you might wonder how the hell 800 grand turns up for oral historians researching Latinx histories. A word that doesn't exist. Either. I don't know if someone doesn't know, but there are endless memes from people from Latin America who are just like, yeah, no one uses that term.
The Latinos hate it.
Like, we think you're some kind of gringo if you ever say that, because there's something deeply wrong with you for bringing that up. Because, of course, you know, it's Latino or Latina. So hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars from President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package went towards, quote, under or unemployed oral historians. So people who didn't have a job. So just made up, I'm an oral historian. What does that mean?
That just sounds like a fake job, doesn't it?
I talk to people, they tell me how their day went, and I tell other people.
I'm a professional campfire storyteller.
I mean, I know there is, you know, some field of research in oral historians, which is that, you know, you have to go find people who don't write stuff down, and then try and get the history, and write it down, because that's, you know, how things stay around, instead of getting lost, but... Unemployed oral historians just sounds like someone who's unemployed.
Yeah, I would assume it also means like researching history that's been transmitted through song and stuff like that as well.
Such as American Latinos.
But...
who can't write, presumably.
If they already can't get a job, why is the government bailing them out in particular? This is a really weird thing to specify.
It's only money. You can always print more.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you're right. Fiat currency go brrr.
It'll be the relief package for the unemployed oral historians and their research related to studies into anti-racism and indigenous and Latinx histories. I can't get over the fact they try and make Latinx still a thing. I mean, like, everyone, even in the Rogue Party, think it's a joke. But in the higher echelons of government, they're still using it. Like, no, trust me, it'll be a thing. No, it won't.
Maybe Biden just can't tell. He sits too far from the typewriter and keeps hitting the wrong keys.
The American Rescue Plan Act, which Democrats passed in March 2021 without any Republican support, was billed by the Democratic Party as an economic necessity for getting the country through the COVID-19 pandemic. The National Endowment for the Humanities, which received $135 million, from the plan, well, from the taxpayers, announced last October it had allocated $87.8 million in American Rescue Plan funds to nearly 300 cultural and educational institutions to help them recover from the economic impact of the pandemic, retrain and rehire workers, and reopen sites, facilities, and programs. So they decided to waste a bunch of that on rehiring people who didn't have a job to begin with, in the oral historians of LA.
Yep, and also recover from the economic impact of lockdowns,
not
which the government instigated.
Yeah. The Oral History Association, for instance, received $825,000 in American Rescue Plan funds for a grant-making project titled, quote, this is a big one, Diversifying Oral History Practice, a fellowship program for unemployed oral historians, which provided 11-year-long fellowships of $60,000 each for all a historian, from the communities which have been historically marginalized in the field, such as indigenous people, people of color, people with disabilities, and the working class people. I don't know. This seems like a really big insult, because you could argue oral historians for, like, you know, the white legs from Fallout New Vegas, or, you know, the Shawnee or whatever in real life, of course. But, you know, don't have a writing system. Therefore, they've got an oral history. Okay, you listen, you write it down. Thank you very much. And you leave, because you're done. You've got the written history now. But for the working class who can't write, presumably, disabled people.
I don't know. I'm from the North. I could believe it.
People in the North, there's just an oral history of the North. We have no idea what really happened.
Who are you about this up and down pub last night?
There are no written records of the North for the last 2,000 years.
There's whispers of something happening with the mines in the 80s, but that knowledge has been lost to the ages.
I heard Thatcher came in and murdered all the children.
Oh, she stole...
She drowned them in milk or
yes,
something?
Yes, yeah. She stole their milk and then she force-fed it down their throats until they choked. At least that's what I was taught in school, through sing-song, of course.
Apparently in America, the same thing. Disabled people also have no history written down. That's just an oral history passed down through generations of disabled to other disabled, the disabled race.
Yeah, I'm just going to suggest as well, just tentatively throw it out there, that historically marginalized in the field probably means no one cares. No one cares enough about whatever history they're peddling to hire them for anything.
I mean, also the people of color here being, of course, not white people, so black and Latino people.
Well, I mean,
I think they could write too. Maybe I don't know about you, but
maybe they're talking about like Ezra Miller and his clear knowledge of Rastafarian history, for instance.
Maybe, but they go on to list some of the recipients of these grants. So there's a recipient here who got 60 grand, who's called Elizabeth, known as Beth Castle, a Shawnee ancestored anti-racist educator, long word for unemployed, to create a collaborative oral history of the fight against mineral and uranium mining in the Black Hills, the origins of the global indigenous movement, and the ongoing struggle to protect people who protect Mother Earth.
Do you need an inhaler, mate?
Yeah, that's her paper title. That's the whole paper title. Just
bloody hell.
Is a paragraph of just words. She's like, yeah, we try to defend our land.
See, I think as well, this is like creating some pretty negative incentives for people, because normally I'd imagine most people see oral histories of that kind and they go, well, that's obviously useless. But now they see it and go, oh, the government's going to give me 60 grand a pop for a paper on this bollocks.
But also, I hope these people have learned to write in between, you know, the Wild West and now. I feel like the oral history may not be that relevant anymore in the last 30 years. Like,
it might die down a little bit.
Yeah, there's also, of course...
If there are oral historians watching this right now, by the way, please correct us for the stuff that we're probably getting wrong.
Well, there are people who do work, and then there are people who are getting just 60 grand for the government to piss about, and I think these are ones.
Yeah.
Because also the description there, they're protecting Mother Earth. Which is like, okay, well, that's a red flag. Instantly, that you're these kind of people who think
like
that...
some kind of occultist or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the Indian narrative is on Mother Earth. I don't think they have a singular one. But then just the Western perception, like the Earth is alive, it's literally Gaia, and we're harming her every time, you know, you dig a sandcastle and you've bruised her somehow.
You're digging out part of her skull, you evil meanie.
Yeah, but if we go to herself, because if we go to the next link here, if you can control F here, John, you want to look up Beth and you'll find her and her big long title. For what she got paid that 60 grand for. As they say in here, a solidarity in action, a collaboration, oral history of the fight against mineral and uranium mining in the Black Hills. Quote, the origin of global indigenous movement. Oh, I'm not going to do it. It just keeps going on. That's her title. Very short. So she says, they will be a collectively advised oral history project in which I will explore how an intersectional and politically diverse alliance of organizations and worldviews came together locally and globally to stop a transnational corporation from mining uranium. Like, yeah, American Indians, very known for being intersectional. They deeply care about pronouns in the bio. I mean, it's the language there, again, tells me that this person is clearly off the reservation of campus in which they've come from, well, Madland. And has come to enforce their ideology into every part of, well, any part
and
of
society. This seems like pretty, not that hard work for 60 grand.
No, you think it'd be a bit easier. I'm going to go talk to some people for a year. Here's 60 grand.
Neat. Oh, sweet.
I met a guy who used to do prehistory on Stonehenge, and he got paid for buggerall. And, you know, that's actually interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like interesting, could reveal some things that we don't already know about the world, but no.
The intersectional nature of... Well, American Indians, I don't think there's much. Dr. Elizabeth Beth Caffell works on the intersection of media, scholarship, and activism. Okay, so you're literally a paid activist. You're paid by the government, which means you're paid by the taxpayer. By force. I mean, they have a gun put to their head so that you can engage in your activism. Good to know. As a Shawnee ancestored anti-racist educator, professional liar, committed to liberating and sharing unknown histories of resistance, she started the Warrior Women Project.
Sorry, carry on.
History. History, fellas. To preserve the oral histories of indigenous activists and disrupt the dominant historical narrative. Okay, so that'll be reality that you're upset with. I mean, you already know. I don't even need to look in your goddamn research. Just with the goddamn language you're using, I know what this is. I mean, the fact that you're funded by the state and not able to get money from this from anyone else, because no one wants to give you money. They have to have a gun put to their heads for you to get money to do this, by the fact that you are taking this money from the state. She says she's best witnessed in a little Peabody-nominated award film, Warrior Women, that she co-directed. Great. Fantastic. So, again,
I'm going to find the reviews.
That's what their money's being spent on. I tried to. There's a short video, but you have to pay for it to even see it. But if you scroll up or down, either way, your choice, just through all the different oral historians here, we'll go down then, I suppose. It's just endless lists of people who, I don't know about you, but a lot of them seem to be wasting their time. As you can see, they're working with Latinx communities.
They're professional, useless people.
Yeah, a lot of that is what it's coming off as to me, and then each one of them getting $60,000. Fantastic. I'm glad that we're suffering all this inflation for all that government money printer going burr. What was it going burr for? Apparently this. If you go to the next one, though, we can think of a better Indian historian who should be given this money to go find the oral histories of tribes lost to time, I suppose. You can see Tucker
Chad,
Carlson.
Look at that smile.
I love he's having so much good fun as well. Like, who cares? It's just so people listening. It's Bolsonaro and Tucker Carlson hanging out, me and the boys. And Bolsonaro's got him a headdress to walk around in.
Because why not?
Yeah, that's a proud Brazilian man. There you are. Anyway, let's go back to the full list of wasted money. Another $60,000 grant recipient included oral historian Virginia Espino for her project exploring the, quote, inanimate histories of working class Latinx, Afro-Latinx, and indigenous peoples of Los Angeles. Like, right. See, you're going to go and talk to Latinos in Los Angeles. And we've got to pay you $60,000 for that. Again, it's just the endless waste of money. I mean, again, the idea that people in Los Angeles can't write either. With the goal of recovering and recording the experiences and rebellious ideas that inform the ordinary lives of women who are invisibilized, they're writing, not mine, or when not stereotyped. So again, this isn't even to do with, like, I don't know, the Spanish conquest back in the day. This is to do with modern Los Angeles and the women specifically who are being marginalized. She's going to go and talk to, we're paying her $60,000 for it. Fantastic. The oppressed women of LA.
Who have probably got some interesting opinions on Clarence Thomas.
Ask them about the nuclear word. But if you go to the... they also say, Colette, who cares, a queer... you know, I'm going to try it. Colette Denily Montana Sloan, a queer indigenous librarian / archivist, also received $60,000 to do more archiving, presumably. Again, no one wants to give her that money. I don't know why. Someone says she's got to take it by force. The Oral History Association was previously awarded $50,000 in American Rescue Plan funds to maintain staff positions during the COVID-19 pandemic and to post oral histories on the web. So that's $50,000 for a web
that's
mod.
That's it. That's all she does. Oh, God.
You got a Reddit mod in that, and it paid her $50,000 to sit around and be like, yep, website's still working. My job's done.
Wait, would the tradition of oral history be taken over by tweets in the modern era? So, like, maintaining the oral history of COVID-19 pandemic would just be people just tweeting about how bored they are?
Maybe. I mean, there will be jobs for people who have to actually, like, mine to try and find the originals because the currents are all deleted.
Okay.
That'll be a job, at least. So they also say, it is just one of dozens of cultural and educational institutions that were awarded millions by the American Rescue Plan and such programs pushing social and climate justice. For instance, the NEH awarded $50,000 in American Rescue funds to a non-profit organization in the Northern Mariana Islands, of course, called 500 Sails for reopening programs that teach indigenous canoe building. I mean, underwater basket weaving got a rough time as a waste of time for indigenous canoe building. I feel like you could probably jot down the plans and we wouldn't have to, you know, pay $50,000 every year for that. We could just have it in a book or on the web, maybe. Oh no, then we'd have to pay the web dev 50 grand to make sure that's still
either up. Way, we're shelling out 50 grand for this, Callum, so make a good investment, okay?
I love the idea as well that like, if we lose indigenous canoe making from the northern Mariana Islands, then that knowledge will just be lost forever.
What are we going to do? No longer can we canoe.
Someone clip that. That's great. The NEH also awarded $1,905, very precise, in American Rescue Plan funds to a Carnegie Institution in Pittsburgh for the ongoing development of an existing exhibition on ancient Egypt. Please know we was Kangs. And the Science History and Institute in Philadelphia was awarded $360,000 to create a multi-platform project exploring the historical roots and persistent legacies of racism in American science and medicine.
Oh, because there's not enough on that already. Christ.
Yeah.
This is all just... I'm just going to throw out the cynical take here. I'm just assuming now, whenever I hear about stuff like this, it's money laundering.
It's got to be money.
It's got to be money laundering.
Those indigenous canoe makers must be laughing to the bank. I don't know.
And how much does the wood cost in the Northern Mariana Islands?
Also, if you're meant to be doing it in the indigenous manner, surely you go and find the wood. So yeah, you don't pay for it either.
That's the thing. Why do they need so much money for it? It's got to be. They're laundering your tax money.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
It's gonna be
guarantee.
Like Joe Biden's fifth cousin or something who just lives out there and is just like, hey, bro, can you give me some cash?
He's got his like nice cabin on the Northern Mariana Islands. He's like, oh, I feel like going canoeing, Joe. Can you do anything for me?
Oh, God. I also just love the idea that we're going to find out, was American medicine racist in the past? Yeah. They used to say the nuclear word quite a lot to the patients. Don't worry about it.
There were some pretty nasty experiments done on black Americans, but this is all very well documented.
Yeah. Now can I have $360,000 for that? No, that's not going to happen. They also go for the next one, which just getting back to the fact that all of this obviously contributes to the endless inflation that the US is now dealing with. There is the Federal Reserve's response, because of course they also went burr at one point. It's not just the federal government. And the leader here described the problem as being one of vaccination. Because people didn't get vaccinated fast enough. That's why we have inflation, is the Federal Reserve's opinion. I don't think they know how inflation works.
I mean, the Fed never has, but, no. You know, you would kind of hope... I mean, even Alan Greenspan, before he was the head of the Fed, was an objectivist and an Ayn Randian scholar who understood, like, Austrian economics and such. But the second he got in charge of the Fed, for some reason, all of that knowledge seems to have just dribbled out the side of his head.
And there's another guy who's dribbling. If you go to the next one here, we can all see that it's all Russia's fault. Continues to be a hell of a meme. I mean, I suppose it is better than it's all because of damn anti-vaxxers, which you could try, which didn't work.
Anything but the government's fault.
But this isn't the funniest thing. The funniest thing has to be California, who have got a solution to the inflation problem. If you go to the next one here, they're going to give checks to everyone of $1,050 to deal with the inflation. The checks are going to be paid for by printing money. Because, of course, California doesn't have any money. They're broke. Hugely in debt. So where's the money coming from? Are they going to print it so that you can have $1,000 to deal with the inflation? Don't worry.
Don't worry about it, bro.
And next year, when they print $2,000 each to deal with the inflation, it'll just work. Trust
me,
all of this just works.
And then next year when they give you the first $1 trillion bill.
It's going to be going well. I mean, that's the funny thing. I mean, I remember I brought in those notes, there, and David Rearboy made the point because I showed him it. And you got the $5 Zimbabwe note and then the $100 trillion one I got. I never noticed, and he did immediately. He went, do you actually notice there's a year difference between the two? There is a year difference between people paying with $5 notes in Zimbabwe and $100 trillion.
Oh, if you just look into the history of the hyperinflation in the Weimar Republic in Germany,
yeah,
like it is like that
just,
level.
Could you imagine that? Like in January, you're paying with fivers, you know, still everything's fine. And by December, you are...
The economy's gone. And there's stories from Weimar Germany that I read, which was amazing, of a guy sitting down at a cafe, ordering himself a coffee. By the time the coffee gets to him, the price has doubled.
Yeah. It's a real
incredible
thing. But if we go to the last one here, just, well, what's Joe Biden campaigning on at the moment, considering everyone's pretty pissed about the inflation? Here you go. Folks, let's get one thing straight. The ultra-MAGA agenda has always been about taking away women's rights in every single state. Could just... I don't know what his campaigners do. I mean, they really want Trump to get re-elected. Just... Don't you know the ultra-MAGA guys are taking away women's rights?
That just sounds awesome. I am picturing Trump in the Space Marines armor right now. God Emperor Trump.
If we can get women to be doing women's things, and instead everyone will have money. I feel like there'll probably be a good deal as well on the women's part at the end of all this. But there you have it. There's all that, which I still can't get over. To fix inflation, I've printed more money, so we'll give everyone money. I mean, it really is just a child's understanding. Why don't you just buy a house if you're homeless? Let's go to the video comments.
After the chickens are plucked, their mom and dad gut the chickens and clean them, and then they go inside of first a cooler that's filled with ice and water to get a little bit more clean and cool the body temperature down, because it's important to get that meat cooled as quickly as possible. Then they get transferred to a bigger one full of ice, and due to laws in Canada, we're not allowed to sell our chickens to other people, so all of these chickens are just for our own family's personal consumption.
What the hell can't you sell to other people? They look great.
They do look very tasty now.
I mean, to be fair, it must be great having chicken just around all the time you can eat. So apparently you need inspection laws or some crap, which, yeah, whatever. I feel like if you you could be like the guy Gavin Stacey. You ever watch Gavin Stacey?
Bits and pieces of it, yeah.
There's this one episode where just this weird guy comes around the back with like a hung thing full of meat, sells it for nothing, so you could just end up doing that. Be the
Why not?
Guy does
I
that.
Mean, I can test it out the first time, and if it doesn't kill me or give me food poisoning, then it's fine the second time.
Go to your neighbors, speak gibberish. They think you're a foreign man with cheap meat. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry.
Let's go to the next one.
We are going to protect our rights from being taken away.
Who's this?
Like, Elizabeth Warren reminds me of, like, an angry pelican, you know? I think Elon Musk put it best when he said to Elizabeth Warren on Twitter, you know, you remind me of when I was a kid and my one friend's mom would just randomly start yelling and screaming at everyone for no reason. Like, that's her in every clip I've seen of her in the past month.
Totally true. I do remember that interaction. I was thinking it was Nancy Pelosi for a minute there, but then I was like, no.
All Democratic women sound the same. It could have been AOC for all I know.
No, she's got her own little, you know, mix on being crazy.
You're telling me that AOC doesn't sound like this? Oh my God, you need to understand why this is taking away human rights, basic human rights.
I prefer the original. You sounded like a Mexican guy.
Mamma mia. Oh, and that's Italian.
Let's go to the next one.
On the topic of London's change in demographics, yeah, it's pretty obvious. When you live here, you can see that it's no longer English. Hell, I was on a podcast a while back, Amiable Arguments. We were talking about the great melting pot of London and how, for some reason, none of the cultures in it are melting together to form a nice little synthesis. Great lesson, would recommend it.
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
Who'd have seen that one coming, eh?
I've thought it before, but it's just like, it struck me the first time when I was walking out with my ex-girlfriend in London, and she was Arab, but she was Christian. So, and she held hands with me and walked down the market, and then she stopped holding my hand. I was like, what's the problem? And she was like, she wouldn't hold my hand. And then we got back, she explained. She said the market was full of Arab guys who were all staring at her and giving her, like, evils because they were thinking she was, like, race mixing because non-Muslim.
Oh, okay.
Can't happen. And of course, then they, you know, she being Christian, but you don't know that just by looking, but she looked Arab. So that was a problem. And it's just like, and this was in the nice part of London. I think we were, what was it, West Kensington? So,
yeah. There's a reason I avoid London.
Just, yeah, that doesn't work. This whole theory of multicultural, it doesn't work. It's fucking stupid. Let's go to the next one.
Anomancer, stop trolling Callum. He's mine.
Mr. Cooper, Callum isn't yours to troll. Everyone is mine to troll.
Excuse me?
My name is Bass Tape. I'm joined today by Jonathan Crowe. Wait, today we're going to be talking about Harry's small penis.
Tony D and Little Joan with another legend of Ottawa. Night and day, the honking continues.
I forgot! No!
I love Bass Tape.
It's gone weird too.
It's gay, and I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, for goodness sake, who put that on the...
Daisy!
Quickly, move on.
I'm getting mad. I'm going to take this off and go over there.
What do you mean?
Please put our sardong back where he belongs.
No, it's gross and weird.
No. Go next one.
Hey, TF, do you want to do a collab?
That's horrible.
What am I watching?
Big thanks to Jonathan Crowe, and the Crowe is a whore. That guy really is a whore. He'll do anything for money.
Get on my level, c***.
I think it is true.
I mean, we literally let him into the office.
Troll in
chief. To troll everyone.
Is certainly based ape. I think he's definitely got that down on everyone.
Where's the Sardong gone?
Anyway, let's go to the next one.
While I'd argue the First World War was the more inventive, the tank, war in the air, artillery refinements, etc., the Second War must be considered the more developmental. Churchill's Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare by Giles Milton describes the work of a secret organization and those who staffed it to develop new tools and tactics for disrupting the enemy's capacity to fight. The Sticky Bomb, the Hedgehog, the Fairbairn Sykes Knife, and Operations Chariot and Gun aside respectively to raid the docks at Saint-Nazaire and deprive the Nazis a supply of heavy water for nuclear work. Those involved pushed themselves to the limits of mental and physical health to ensure a favorable result.
Good review.
Yeah, really interesting.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but I seem to remember listening to some podcast talk about this where they were saying like the sticky bomb we developed was really crap because it had a habit of sticking to guys when you tried to throw it.
That would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Just imagine, like, you know, you stick it, just that meme, oopsie daisy. I'm screwed. Still better than some of the Russian solutions, though, but let's get the next one. Looking at a lamb in the wild. Well, I don't know if there's such a thing as wild lambs.
There is, in Wales.
Wild? Surely it's all farmland at this point. It'd be 2,000 years.
Well, I've been to... I remember in college I went on a trip to Wales as part of a geography trip or something. And we were up this... I wouldn't call it a mountain. This kind of mountain range. And there was lots of just sheep wandering about on the hillsides on really steep angles, and there were a few dead sheep just like whose corpses were at the foot of this river that we were having to dip our hands into and inspect because sheep are stupid. Sheep will climb somewhere very, very high, get stuck, and then just fall and die because sheep are retards.
Sorry, they just go, well, I'm stuck. Let's not try and go back where I came.
pretty much. They just go, guess I'll die then.
For the vine. Okay. That's insane.
Yeah, they're just wandering about the place. I don't know if maybe they'd escaped from farmland nearby or something, but, you know, the farmer wasn't getting good on his investment if they had.
Right. Go to the next one.
Thanks for that, Carl. I really should have brought more. I could have brought more. Wouldn't have cost me that much. And I've got tons left that I need to sell. But the thing is, I really, really, really hate anime and comic book conventions. I just can't stand them because in many ways, they are more woke than Pride. By the way, who the hell is this guy?
Doctors hate him. That's all I can think of with that image there.
Having been to a Comic-Con once,
I've never been.
He's right. They also have a horrible tendency to just smell, and I think you can guess why.
Yeah, we should go for a meme. The next one in London, we should go. Why not?
Well, I'll dig out my jacket and I'll go and go as Leon from Resident Evil 4, if you know that. I think I've got the hair for it, so it'll be fine.
I've still got Resident Evil 4. Like, if you've got the PS3 version.
I've got the PS4 remastered version and the original PS2 version.
It was a remastered version.
Oh yeah, there's a PC remastered version. They're also doing a remake of it, which I don't know how I feel about it, but I'll check it out when it comes out.
I never really get the point, because they always reimagine the whole thing. It's like, why not just fix the bugs and also, I don't know, add a level or an extended story?
The thing is, they're following on from the remakes of Resi 2 and Resi 3, which I enjoyed Resi 2's remake. I didn't play Resi 3's remake because it was overpriced for the amount of content that you got. But I like the idea of going back and remaking those ones that are like tank controls, like really blocky, you know, PS1 visuals. I don't get the point of remaking Resi 4, though, because Resi 4 still holds up to this day.
Yeah, still works.
Yeah, it still works how it's intended. The only benefit I could see is if they try and reintroduce some of the content from earlier versions of the game that was cut, because obviously it went through massive development troubles, one of the versions ended up Devil May Cry, one of the other versions ended up being just scrapped, where Leon was going around in a haunted mansion being chased by a hook monster. If they reintroduce some of the hook monster haunted mansion stuff, it could be interesting and maybe worthwhile checking out, but...
And just like, there's the game and then there's a fourth option, it's like, look what it could have been.
There's also the problem, they did a VR Resident Evil 4 recently, and a lot of people played it and thought, something's off. Do you remember the interactions that Leon has with his handler over the radio, where he's quite... like cheeky towards her. He's quite flirtatious. They've taken all that out of the VR version.
They?
Yeah, they took out all the times.
You
where
still look up Ashley's skirt or not?
You know, I haven't Googled that personally.
You get achievement for it.
Yeah, you probably would, but no, they've seemed to have taken out all of like the flirtatious, like cheeky Leon stuff where he's interacting and maybe being even a little bit chauvinistic with the women.
Okay.
And it's like, why? You're Japan, you're Capcom. Surely you can just deal with it.
Yeah,
who cares?
I feel like we're going off on a tangent.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
sorry, yeah. I just went on a big nerdy tangent there.
No, but it is funny, like in the base game, because Ashley has a skirt, like if you get on a huge ladder, because you send her up first and then you get up and then she'll shout at you for it and you're like, like, what am I meant to be looking at? But then there's
I need to look up for the prompt, Ashley. Yeah. Come on.
And then also, if you finish the game, you can get her in a suit of armor as well.
Oh, yeah. And
then
the enemies can't lift her anymore.
Yeah, literally damsel in distress, but now she's in a suit of armor, so she's less sexy, but now she won't get hurt, so actually much better.
She's less annoying to deal with. And also, I think there was a glitch where if you got onto one of her segments, because you play as her a few times in the game and you have to sneak past people or just run past people, there's a certain glitch that allows you to like suplex as Ashley. So the Leon animation where he just suplexes the monks, you can get tiny little Ashley to do that as well.
Yeah. All right, anyway, people asking when Lotus Gaming, probably never, but let's go to the next one.
So it's worth noting that while pleasure and fulfillment are commonly associated with vice and virtue, they're not exactly the same thing. Many pleasures are considered to be vices, and living virtuously will lead to a fulfilling life, but plenty of counterexamples do exist. For example, watching a stand-up special by your favorite comedian is a pleasure, although not a particularly vicious or harmful one. Mastering the guitar may be a source of fulfillment to you, although being an excellent guitar player is not particularly virtuous or moral in its own right.
I feel like watching Dave Chappelle is definitely a virtue rather than a pleasure. It just makes you a better person, educates you.
I've not watched much of Dave Chappelle other than clips here and there, to be honest, so.
The next one.
Hello, American Dadists. This is your patriarch speaking with a call to arms. The universe needs you guys. I know Carl talks a lot about self-betterment, but I really want to reemphasize it. The world really needs you. If you are responsible, adult, knowledgeable, there is an entire generation that is so lost and confused, far more than we have ever been, coming right in behind us, and they need some role models. Go out there. You don't have to become a biological dad to be a father figure to somebody. Just be a male role model in your community. Please consider it. Thanks.
That was a public service announcement.
That was really wholesome. Nice.
Do the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines. Donald J. Trump in the 80s. He came to South Jersey to build ugly casinos in Atlantic City. The media both loved and hated him. He seemed to polarize a lot of people and make big pronouncements. He fought a corrupt establishment in the form of unions and local governments and other casino owners. But in the end, he made his money and left Atlantic City. As we all learned, never bet against Trump.
I really was really hoping for the ghost of Trump. Stories say that he comes back every year.
Yeah. Stories say you can still hear huge echoing through the halls.
Otherwise, yeah, it's always good to know what the history of the God Emperor. Let's get the next one.
So Mortarion landed on a planet of toxins and stinkiness. He had a whole storyline of being adopted by a rich and powerful guy, then was cast out and went to get his revenge. And he climbed the highest mountain to strike his adoptive father down, only for the Emperor to swoop in and blueball him by killing him himself. Yes, that's the main reason Mortarion ends up a traitor. Because of kill stealing. He's one of the few Primarchs with a 40k model, and damn does he look badass.
Yeah, isn't it bloody expensive though? But yeah,
I bet it is. It looks cool though.
I do love that in the lore. Just like most of the Primarchs who do leave the Emperor, it's because of some petty nonsense where the Emperor was just a dick or, you know, cucked them out of something. It's like there's this one guy, I can't remember which one it is, he's one of the Primarchs. Him and his friends are all fighting this battle or something, or all about to get killed. And the Emperor, like, teleports down and takes just the Primarch out, none of his friends, even though it would have taken no more effort. And it's just like, right, so you got all my lifelong friends killed for no reason.
Yeah, bro, you gotta cry about it.
You're a dick. Like, you know, costs you nothing, means the world to him.
The Emperor there, just with a Chad, yes.
Let's go to the next one.
So, I am rather pleased with my leftist seagull analogy, because everywhere they stay, it looks like a total shit. They will throw their feces at you. They eat the fruits of your labor. And they constantly scream at the sky. And today I would like to think that that's because Jordan Peterson has joined Daily Wire Plus. So maybe we should just call seagulls leftists or leftist seagulls.
Carl would certainly agree.
I'm fine with calling seagulls leftists. I hate seagulls.
I don't think you'll have an answer, but I know you can't shoot them, you know, on land. But I always wondered, you know, because they come down, they just steal your catch if you're a fisherman. Like, why can't you just have some guy with a rifle shooting a couple of seagulls and they'll get the message, presumably after a while?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not working.
Are you expecting seagulls to be able to learn and adapt? Oh. According to John, we are not...
They're protected in the UK, but at sea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've just seen that Jordan Peterson got signed to Daily Wire Plus. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's neat.
Fair play.
But anyway,
hopefully you can calm down a little bit. I love Jordan Peterson, but he's lost...
shooting each other, the Democrats. Sorry.
I love Jordan Peterson, but he needs to adopt some more of his old measured tone when discussing stuff, because recently whenever I see him, he's just yelling about things. It's like, calm down, Jordan. I understand, but calm down.
I always felt like he should go on a gap year. Like, just have fun.
Yeah, I mean, you could say, oh, he disappeared for a year, but yeah, he was going through, like, surgery, his wife's cancer, and stuff like that. It's not a holiday, is it?
Not what I call a gap year.
No, no. Anyway, let's look at the comments. First one is from Theodore Pinnock. I'll read this one because it's related to me.
Sure.
Yeah, so I thought Harry's video on Lincoln was excellent. It did a very good job at explicating why exactly the unnuanced characteristic of the characterization of the Civil War as a righteous moral crusade against Southerners, so cartoonishly racist that they started a war just to keep slavery, is so wrong. Thank you very much for that. It's got a bit of a mixed response so far, which is to be expected because it's quite a contentious subject. But one of the responses I have been seeing from people is that the Civil War... Oh, everybody knows that the Civil War was fought to save the Union and wasn't to fight against slavery. And then I took a walk into Waterstones today, cracked open a few American history books, and they were all like, the war against slavery, the war on slavery, how the North fought to free the slaves and such like that. So it's like, no, you can't really...
After the war started, yeah, but...
yeah. Partially, maybe.
Anyway, but we'll move to the Trans Bill of Rights. Reese Sims says, ah, yes, of course, the true transgenderism hasn't been tried yet. If you just let us groom your kids, we'll reach the communist, I mean, trans utopia. Honestly, the egotism of this minority within a minority that wants to Ezra Miller your children makes me sick. The sooner we throw these nonces and groomers into the darkest deep jails, cells for the rest of their twisted lives, the better. It seems to be true.
Yeah. Can I just read another one, just because you ignored it and it's a compliment to you? So George
Hatt
said,
not, to be
Callum's
honest.
Anti-communism video is fantastic. It just needs sources for all the awesome songs. Come on, just take the compliment.
No. M1 Ping says, if someone identifies as a bird and they subject to state hunting season?
If they want to consider themselves different species, that means we don't have to consider like human rights for them, so... Wait, if I identify as a swan, does that mean the queen then owns me?
Yes.
It must do.
It means we also can't kill you, which... Damn.
What were you planning? Christ.
You don't know about the... Like, never mind.
Oh, okay.
Go and check out the Death of Stalin end credits, or one of the contemplations we did where we shot Joss twice.
We can't shoot him enough, really.
No,
he keeps getting back up. That's the problem.
Dude's bulletproof. Norwegian Viking says, mentioning people who detransition get you to branded as a heretic and left to size. Only problem is that you can only deny reality for so long. It's like the left are basing everything on denying reality at this point. A lot of it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying we need to, you know, redefine the word progress in some terms of accepting reality for what it is, or something like that, because I am sick of this concept. It's just like, progress is just taken by the progressives as their word. I'm just like, I don't like that. I don't like that future. But anyway, we'll move on because we're running out of time. So on the detransition stuff.
Yes, like... Lord Nerevar says, it's so clear to me that pro-trans legislators and activists have never read a detrans story in their lives. If they had, they would never sleep again knowing the results of their policies. They did this to innocent people. They bear the consequences. We should never let them forget this. That might count for most of them, but I do think that there is a contingency that are aware of what they're doing and are legitimately just evil. At this point, I can't deny the signs that it seems that evil is literally taking over. Anon Imi says, I can understand Tulip being angered over being manipulated, but even now he's not taking responsibility for his own actions. The reason we're in this mess is because people don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. We need enforced dadism. I think that's a bit harsh on Richie right there, because, you know, he said himself he was in a bad mental state. He was very vulnerable. People took advantage and people did groom him. And I do think that, you know, if we can support Johnny Depp, in situations, you know, where he's in a situation where he's been, you know, beaten and manipulated by a woman, then you can support somebody who's been in a vulnerable mental state and been manipulated by older men. And one more, Baron von Warhawk says, in the old days when Walt Disney was told about a Triple X Mickey Mouse film made by his animators, he fired them all and would also fire any communists in his company. Now look at the modern Disney company putting sexual and communist material in all of their films. Yes, Disney is probably rolling in his grave right now.
Did you ever get to read those old quotes from him about commies?
Oh, no, I haven't actually.
It was just him talking about them at the
American I imagine they're very based.
Or he's just like, yeah, I knew there were a few communists and we got them out. Anyway.
Good man.
On Biden's Latinx oral historians. I still can't believe that. Why is that thing? I mean, I know government spending, there's always some story about like stupid nonsense we're wasting money on. But at least when we waste it on like, you know, diversity commissars in the NHS, you can understand the
Yeah.
Oral historians for LA.
That just seems so esoteric to me, doesn't it?
Stupid thing. Colin Parker says, a Latinx history, a meaningless term created by work identitarians, which is never used by actual Latins. There you go. You only need to pay me $1,000. $100,000. Don't want to shortchange him. And Dontas A says, what on earth is a global indigenous movement? People who are indigenous to the whole globe. Doesn't make sense.
I mean, that's all of us, surely.
Yeah, essentially it's the it's an intersectional thing, isn't it? Where it's just, we'll get all the minorities and uniform them together against the center. So that's essentially what it is. Colin Parker, there again, perhaps the need for oral historians is an indication of how bad the American education system is regarding literacy. Yeah, you would have thought. Bit of a self-goal there.
And the American educational system can be bad without needing this to replace it.
Anyway, but we're out of time. So if you want more from us, lotuses.com, of course. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.